You're listening to the Lutheran Ladies Lounge podcast. I'm Sarah.
I'm Erin.
And I'm Rachel.
Today, we are reviving a segment that we haven't done in quite some time.
And this is 2021.
Oh, wow. That is quite some time. I didn't realize it had been that long. All right, Rachel.
It's the first Sunday of the OG.
What are you doing, Rachel? What are you reviving, apparently, from the grave?
Okay, yeah. One of the original segments from this podcast was one that used to be Breeze. It was, We called it How to Lutheran. And the idea is that you take one of those common aspects of Lutheran life and culture that's so familiar to us that they're just part of the furniture. We don't even think about them. And you sort of explore them and also celebrate them.
Yep.
Yeah.
A lot of these sorts of episodes have been classed under wild card lately, but I don't really know why.
Huh.
Because we just forgot that we had this great title.
We did. And this was originally a Bria and Gruzewski segment. So I'm sorry that she's not here to carry on that legacy, but it's too good to retire
Her
forever.
Legacy
so we're
lives
bringing
on.
It back.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
Exactly.
So we are going to dig a little deeper into one element of How to Lutheran this week. And our topic for the day is table prayers.
Yes.
Yes.
I love it. This is fun.
So this was inspired by a recent article on the Lutheran Witness Online called Who Wrote the Common Table Prayer? And I just want to give a quick hat tip shout out to Sarah Renzel, who has recently taken over the helm of the online articles for Lutheran Witness.
Yeah.
She's doing a fantastic job. She's also my second cousin, but we won't mention that. But I'm really just blown away by the direction that Lutheran Witness Online has taken lately. So if you are looking for interesting online content, check it out.
But there, not a this paid is ad.
Not a paid ad. No, you couldn't. You could not pay me to do that. It's a genuine feeling.
I agree, though. Good stuff.
Good stuff.
Really good stuff.
But this is not the first time Lutheran Witness has taken on this topic. If you want to learn more, there are rabbit trails in the show notes so you can follow. An article by Jean Edward Veith from 2021, one by David Lloyd from 2011, even one by Emily Olson in 2018. So we keep coming back around to it. But this new article, Who Wrote the Common Table Prayer, really dives into the history, the weeds that we love so much here on this podcast. I'll come back around to that later on in the episode. But the article got me thinking not only about the common table prayer, but also about table prayers in general. Why do we say them? Which ones do we say? And what, if anything, is so Lutheran about saying grace? So we're going to answer the first question first. Why exactly do we say grace or return thanks, both in quote marks, before meals? Well, I mean, it's not like it's the 11th commandment, thou shalt say grace.
That's true. We just do it. It's just what we do.
Now, people will point to Deuteronomy 8, verse 10, which says, when you have eaten and are satisfied, bless the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. Okay. I think the real reason we do it is because Jesus is often recorded as giving thanks when he breaks bread. At
this
the feeding
sense.
Of the 5,000, at the Last Supper, Jesus gave thanks. And so we follow in his lead. But yeah, it's a good and worthy practice to pray before and after our meals.
Mm-hmm.
Both and yes. All our daily bread ultimately comes from God, so it's appropriate to acknowledge that out loud and thank him for it. It also helps us build fellowship with ourselves and our Christian table mates. Like, it's a time, okay, we've been just living our lives. Let's stop and be Christian for a minute before we eat. And when we are out in public, you know, at the Burger King or wherever, if we all bow our heads and pray, it's a bold act of witnessing.
Mm-hmm.
However, it is not strictly necessary. And despite what one of my cousins once told me, it doesn't actually make the food safe to eat.
Yeah.
Like, we were starting to eat. He's like, no, you can't eat that. It's poison. We haven't prayed yet. It's like, I'm going to need to see a chapter and verse on that, cousin.
Ours was, it'll rot in your stomach. If you didn't pray and bless it, wow. it'll rot.
I did not.
It's come up with all sorts of goofy things.
Yeah, it's not a part of my childhood.
No.
No.
My parents are not the ones that told us this. Absolutely not.
It's just sort of in the water, in the air around you.
That's funny.
Exactly. There's actually a really hilarious YouTube video from comedian John Crist that I will link to in the show notes. It is John Crist's official rules for pre-meal prayer.
Oh, boy.
He goes over, for example, questions like, do you pray before the appetizers or just before the entree? Do you pray before your dessert or do you assume, even if it's hours before, that your prayer before dinner covered the dessert? How many French fries can you have before saying grace and still be in the right?
It
is very funny. But it is true that most Christians pray before meals. Some Christians pray after meals. It's something we do. It is a worthy practice. But then the question arises, you're going to pray. How do you pray? So some of us pray extemporaneously. And if you grew up in a church like the one my mother grew up in, this is all that you did. You don't, all prayers are original prayers. You might recycle a few favorite words and phrases here and there, but every prayer and every table prayer was intended to be an original impromptu thing. There were still rules of protocol and etiquette, but extemporaneous is the way. But let us face it, that this is one area in which Lutherans are definitely distinct. We are not allergic to pre-written prayers. In fact, we really love them. We really love them. There are several reasons for this. One, we love liturgy. We love those beautiful scriptural prayers that have stood the test of time. That we don't have to make up on the spot. Two, we love saying the prayers together. The ones that we all know the words to. So it's a communal experience. We're all involved. This correlates to the next one. We're a little uncomfortable when anybody, except maybe an ordained pastor, uses saying grace as an opportunity to show off how creative or articulate or holy they are. There is no showboating during the table prayer.
Nope.
Another reason we love our table prayers is because we love the predictability of knowing exactly how long we are committed to saying grace together. If someone starts out, be present at our table, Lord, we know four lines, boom, amen, let's eat. If someone starts out, Lord, we just want to thank you, who knows how long it's going to be before we actually get to put food in our mouths.
That's true.
And then finally, we also love knowing that we are never going to accidentally end up with some version of Ricky Bobby's prayer from Talladega Nights, most of which I refuse to say on air because it is both inappropriate and heretical. But if you've not seen this film, and you don't need to see this film, it's not a great film, in my opinion. But there is a scene where Ricky Bobby, the NASCAR driver, is leading his family in an extemporaneous prayer and thanks the Lord for the bountiful harvest of Domino's, KFC, and the always delicious Taco Bell. He then later returns thanks for his red hot smoking wife, Carly, who is a stone cold fox, and goes on from there. It's awful. But when you're put on the spot, sometimes things just come out. So yes, there's no doctrinal review for extemporaneous table prayers. So we Lutherans often go with the safe bet. That is the ones we all know and we all love. For their beauty, their community spirit, humility, predictability, and generally solid doctrine. We really like our table prayers.
Yes.
And we are not alone. Martin Luther loved a good table prayer. As we see in the catechism, he began and ended each meal with a psalm verse, the Lord's Prayer, and a table prayer. And I'm going to actually pull this out right now, because I think we need to understand how committed to saying grace Dr. Luther was. How the head of the family should teach his household to ask a blessing and return thanks. asking a blessing. The children and members of the household shall go to the table reverently, fold their hands, and say, "The eyes of all look to you, O Lord, and you give them their food at the proper time. You opened your hand and satisfied the desires of every living thing." Then shall be said the Lord's Prayer and the following: "Lord God, Heavenly Father, bless us and these your gifts, which we received from your bountiful goodness, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen." Also, after eating, they shall, in like manner, reverently and with folded hands, say, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. He gives food to every creature. He provides food for the cattle and for the young ravens when they call. His pleasure is not in the strength of the horse, nor his delight in the legs of a man. The Lord delights in those who fear him, who put their hope in his unfailing love." Then shall be said the Lord's Prayer and the following: "We thank you, Lord God, Heavenly Father, for all your benefits through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit forever and ever. Amen." Deep breath. It's a lot. And I love these prayers, but saying them before and after your meals, especially with the Lord's Prayer repeated twice, is quite a little commitment. I actually timed these as part of my preparation for this episode. And if you're going to go Dr. Luther style, even if you speak at a fairly even clip, you're going to be committing to 45 seconds before your meal and a full minute afterwards. So it's wonderful. And those of you who are out there who follow Dr. Luther's recommendation to the letter, it's wonderful. They're great texts to meditate on. But if you don't, I do kind of understand. The food is getting cold. So we have instead kept the principle of giving and returning thanks and made up a whole lot of other daily table prayers for use more regularly, like a lot of table prayers, a whole lot. And this is where we're going to enter in some poll results, because, of course, I had to do a poll for this.
Okay. Yes.
You can't just take my word for the fact that there are a lot of table prayers that we use regularly. So I put out two polls within the last couple of days. And the first one asked people, which table prayers does your family regularly use? Now, this was supposed to be a maximum science poll. We always aim for that. And sometimes it works out. Turns out, even though I told people to check all that apply, I think I maybe forgot to check the box that allows people to check all that apply. Somebody mentioned that in the comments.
Oh my goodness.
It's a mostly maximum science poll. Nonetheless, people got really into this. We had over 1,200 votes in less than 2 days.
Wow.
And, over 50 comments. So, lot of insight. Thank you to everyone who have participated. If you're still interested in sharing your apparently one table prayer that you use most, head on over there and check it out. Turns out only about 4% of us use Luther's "The Eyes of All Look to Thee, O Lord." Though a combined 7% additionally use some version of the shorter "Lord God, Heavenly Father, bless us and these thy gifts." That prayer is much more common throughout Protestant Christianity.
Interesting.
Not just Lutheran. So it doesn't surprise me that it's slightly more often used. In second place, at 13%, we had "O give thanks unto the Lord," based on the psalm, which I use quite often.
Yeah.
There are some short and simple prayers and some that obviously came from summer camp or Lutheran schools. I'm looking at you, Johnny Appleseed prayer and the Superman prayer. Are you guys both familiar with those?
Oh, yeah.
Thank you, Lord.
I don't know the Superman prayer.
Thank you, Lord, for giving us food.
Nope.
And on from there.
Do not know that.
Yes. And there are a lot of wonderful prayers that people have shared. I'll just pull up a random sampling. People use the hymn, "Feed Thy Children, Lord Most Holy."
That's a good one.
"Heavenly Father, bless this food to thy glory and our good." I really like that one. We've got "Bless These Gifts We Ask in Jesus' Name, Amen." So it doesn't have to be long. A lot of them are very short. I know I taught my young daughter, all my children, actually, their first prayer, table prayer was, "Thank you, Jesus, for our food. Amen."
Yeah, that works.
It works. Got a wonderful contribution from Sharon Pesky, who is also related to me.
Of course.
But she writes, "We sometimes use a prayer from a framed wall art that my dad bought when he was at seminary in the 1940s. O thou who clothest the lilies and feedest the birds of the sky, who leadest the lambs to the pasture and the hart to the waterside, who hast multiplied loaves and fishes and converted water into wine, do thou come to our table as guest and giver to dine." She says,
"That's lovely.
We've updated the words from this just a tad to more modern English, but it's such a beautiful prayer with numerous biblical allusions."
Yeah.
So there are many, many, many prayers that are in use around our tables. And thank you to everyone who shared. I was surprised a little bit, but also extremely relieved not to see a prayer like "Rub-a-dub-dub, thanks for the grub" anywhere on the list. Mm-hmm. I know they exist, but I love that our list is by and large very reverent. Well done, ladies.
Yes.
So question for you guys. Do you use table prayers versus extemporaneous prayers? I presume you both pray before meals, but I don't know. And if you do, which prayers do you use?
So my favorite is definitely Luther's table prayer. I actually made it into a canvas art print and it hangs above our kitchen table as like part of my wall art because I like it so much. I learned that one a long time ago, but I learned it in the older version.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And my husband also learned it in the older version, which is part of the reason I made the artwork in the newer version so that we know which language we're using when we say it. Because it's the updated, you just get tripped up when you're like, when you're trying to say the old version, it's just whatever.
So you're I really like to say the old version, though, you know.
Yeah, it just gets confusing when you're like saying competing words. And
true.
Let me but start. Whatever.
Put a pin in that. It will come back around in this episode.
I'm sure. So that's the one that I like to use when I'm just like for me personally. But growing up, we did "Come Lord Jesus" before we ate. And then we did "O Give Thanks" at the end. My husband's family, though, I learned this tradition. And apparently it's also among other people in the lounge. I saw a couple other people saying this in the poll, too, that you say the "Come Lord Jesus" and "O Give Thanks" together at the beginning.
Oh.
And then when you're done eating, you can just get up and leave. So like you don't have to sit around and wait for the slow pee. I am one of those people that eats really slowly. So in my family growing up, we waited till everyone was done eating. And then we said, "Oh, give thanks." And then you could get up and leave the table. But those were the ones that I grew up with. There's another one. There's one that's written on the napkin holder on my parents' kitchen table. And I can't remember what it says, which is probably terrible because I know we said it a lot. So I texted my mom. If she replies before we're done recording, I'll tell you what it is.
Okay.
If not, you can put it in the comments when the episode drops.
Yes, 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 yes. So there's a couple other common short ones that we would do. But for the most part, it was "Come Lord Jesus" and "O Give Thanks" when I was a kid. And then I adopted Luther's probably in like college. So
my family I definitely grew up primarily and still primarily use "Come Lord Jesus." We would occasionally mix it up with "O Give Thanks." My grandparents would do that as like a returning thanks at the end of the meal. But I don't, now that I'm thinking about it, in recent years, that has not been a tradition. So gradually that sort of went by the wayside. We will still use that, but usually as more of the prayer at the beginning periodically. "Come Lord Jesus, O give thanks." And then my family has a prayer that I have never come across anywhere else. I'm sure it's out there, but I just did a quick look through. I didn't look through all the comments in the poll, but it did not show up as one of the entries in the poll that you did. We have a prayer that is the Lidke family table prayer, and we call it Lord Jesus Christ because that's how it starts and that's how you name things in the Lutheran church.
Yeah.
By the first words.
the first line. And it is not only a typical prayer, but it can be sung. And in fact, when we are gathered together with any size group, really, beyond just like four, we will sing it. And not only can it be sung, but ideally you have enough people that it is sung in a round.
Yes.
Oh my.
It's a great prayer. I love it. And it's a rite of passage for the new family members who join. It's a rite of passage for the little kids as you're growing up, once you, because it's a little longer than Come Lord Jesus. And so it's a rite of passage once you have it memorized just with the regular, and then once you're able to sing it, and then especially once you are able to hold your own while it's going with a round. So the words are, Lord Jesus Christ, be thou our guest, our joy by day, at night our rest, and with this daily food impart thy love and peace in every heart.
Oh, that is beautiful.
And then you sing it to Talus Canon. And so usually when we sing it, then we will usually sing it once through with the verse and then once through with the doxology and as a round. And so then that's how it goes. That's always so cool. Entertaining. Like the first time you see like the new cousin-in-law who's married in, or they haven't yet married him, but they're like at the first big family gathering and they're like, what is happening here? Everyone's singing.
Yes.
What am I getting myself into?
Yep.
But it's a cool prayer. So Lord Jesus Christ is sort of the Liedtke family table prayer.
How did I know that yours would be extra?
Yeah.
Very on brand.
Yeah. Yes.
Katie Sherman led us in a similar round prayer at a women's retreat I was at a couple months ago, and I'd never sung a table prayer in the round. But I can't remember the words, but I wonder if it was a similar one.
Maybe.
I don't know. I'm going to have to ask her what it was.
Yeah. My grandparents are from Wisconsin. So who knows? Maybe it's maybe there's other people in Wisconsin. But honestly, I haven't ever come across anybody outside of my family who does this prayer.
Yeah.
So I'm curious if somebody chimes in the lounge once we're discussing it there.
I've used and encountered a lot of table prayers, but that one is new to me.
I know.
I love it.
Yeah. Side note, your suggestion about, like, Sarah, you said you had made this like as a wall hanging. Suddenly, I feel like I need to make like a little sampler of this. Mm-hmm. Of this table prayer, the Liedtke family table prayer, to preserve it.
Plus,
it would allow, if I have guests over and I'm like, let's do this one, it gives them the words to refer to.
I don't think you need a little sampler. I think you need a giant poster to help all those future cousins-in-law out a bit.
That's a good point.
I do love the tradition of singing before meals, though. Mm-hmm. When I was in Capella, Concordia, Chicago, and we would go to churches. They would always feed us before concerts, and we would sing Come Lord Jesus. I think it was Come Lord Jesus. Mm-hmm. We would sing the table prayers before and after, which was super fun.
Yeah.
And my brother and sister-in-law, they're Orthodox, so they do stuff a little bit differently. However, they always sing part of the liturgy that is in their current church year and hymnody and everything before they do their prayers before meals. I just love that. It's just more singing, all the singing all the time.
So in our house, we use Come Lord Jesus, but not as much as you would think. And there is a very practical reason for that. It has to do with different versions. Mm. But we use O Give Thanks Unto the Lord a lot. If my husband or my son is praying, he will always launch into the eyes of all, look to thee, O Lord. Mm-hmm. And then when we pray it, my husband will use the old language and the rest of us will use the new language. So Sarah, I understand your poster there.
Yes.
My husband often leads that prayer if it's his turn to start the prayer. But I've noticed that the later dinner is, and the more time I've spent putting it together, the more likely he is to use that particular prayer, which always frustrates me. And it shouldn't. Forgive me, dear husband, for this. But I've commented on this. It's sort of the Murphy's Law of graces. The later dinner is, and the more work I put into it, the longer the prayer is going to be before I can take the lid off the food.
Yes.
But we love Luther's mealtime prayer, although we have never done it with the Lord's Prayer in the middle, like the Catechism says to do.
Yeah, I've never done that either.
In my family growing up, we used a lot of Come Lord Jesus. We also loved sung prayers. We had two different tunes to Come Lord Jesus. I will come back to that later. But now that I'm remembering, we also did one that was sung, that could be sung in a round, that went, let's see if I can remember, for food and drink and daily bread, we praise thy name, O Lord. For food and drink and daily bread, we praise thy name, O Lord. O Lord, which is a really weird way to end, but it's beautiful in a round. I just remember that. Yeah. My mother reminded me that there was one grace that we picked up in a Lutheran school cafeteria, which is the source of some of the more offbeat graces. And it was sort of a boogie-woogie one. And I had called her to ask her for something else. And she said, oh, you are going to mention this one, right? So if anyone else attended Calvary Lutheran School in Silver Spring, Maryland, it's now closed. But we had a wonderful time at lunchtime with God is great, God is good, and we thank him.
Oh, yeah.
Food. We're going to thank him in the morning, noon, and night. Yeah. We're going to thank our God because he's out of sight. Amen, 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 amen. And then you have to do the bit at the end. Amen.
Okay.
Yeah. It's a little far cry from Luther's table prayer, but, you know, the kids got really into the spirit of the thing, and we enjoyed that. That's that one so sort of got rarer and rarer as time went on, till I had completely forgotten it existed. And then my mother reminded me, so I share it with you for her. But yeah, we've used a lot of different table prayers, but we do tend to have ones we come back to over and over again. Mm-hmm. And so do most people, because as will surprise nobody, the hands down winner in our poll at a whopping 54% as of last check. Let me check again right now. Still hanging at 54%. Come, Lord Jesus, be our guest. And I'll just stop there because I don't know what version you use. It is the common table prayer. This is a very Lutheran prayer. I know this because I scanned a few other sites as part of my research to see if it showed up there. So I looked at the list of Catholic mealtime prayers available at jesuitresource.com, and it wasn't there.
Oh,
it's not like they're allergic to non-Catholic prayers, because John Wesley's Methodist prayer, Be Present at Our Table, Lord, showed up. And God is great, God is good. That was also on their list. And weirdly enough, they also included a Sufi table prayer by Inayat Khan.
Interesting.
Interesting. But there was no Come Lord Jesus. I even did a keyword search just to make sure.
Huh.
And then I checked out Christianity.com, which is more of a sort of evangelical website. I checked out their list of 30 dinner prayers to say before meals and bless your food.
That's a lot of options.
Yeah. There was a version of Bless us, O Lord, in these thy gifts. There was God is great, be present at our table, Lord, again represented. Mm. There's even a short dinner prayer. Dear God, thank you for this food. Amen. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But no Come Lord Jesus in this list.
Hmm.
It's not in the catechism. Other church bodies don't seem to notice that it's even there. So one, why do we call it common? And two, where did it come from? This is where that LW article I referenced earlier was so helpful for me. Mm. He went down a deep rabbit hole, I'm going down one right now. Let me pull back out of that. And sort of did some real sleuthing to figure out where this came from. People had said it at sometime in the 1750s. But he says numerous authors have noted that the common table prayer is very similar to portions of an aria written in 1669 by Johann Rudolf Ahle, a Lutheran organist. And it seems to be derived from the first and third stanzas of that aria, but when and by whom? later on in the article, this is so fascinating, you all got to go read this. He says, the earliest publication was in a school book written in Leipzig by Johann Conrad Quensen, the son of a Lutheran pastor, entitled, let's see if I can do this, Neues und nützliches Schulbuch für die Jugend bis in 10. oder 12. Jahr. Hey. New and useful schoolbook for youth up to the 10th or 12th year of age.
Those long titles.
Very specific.
Yeah. So in that time and place, so Quentin probably wrote it for this, but the text of Alles Aria had been republished in Leipzig less than 9 months earlier.
Hmm.
And so he probably was inspired by it and adapted it for this prayer or for this school book.
I know.
Love it when someone does the legwork that I do not have the time or ability to do and actually answers a question. So it is. This is Leipzig, heart of German Lutheranism in the 17th century. This is, you know, Bach land. It's a very Lutheran prayer. And although some people have described the prayer as sounding childish, author James Eggert says at the end, our beloved Common Table Prayer was written as a prayer for children. Its simple piety sufficient for the purpose of educating the young in a solidly Lutheran context, yet profound in its call for Christ's presence and blessing in our lives. So there you have it. That's where the Common Table Prayer came from. It was not in the Catechism. Luther didn't write it, but it is nonetheless solidly Lutheran.
Mm-hmm.
And we can claim it.
Mm-hmm.
Still, though, my question stands. Can we actually call it common? Well, according to one definition of the word common, frequently used, yes, we can call it common in Lutheranism, in approximately 54% of Lutheran homes.
I bet it's even higher than that, because they could only vote on one, and they wanted to make sure some of these other ones didn't get lost.
There you go. Okay, so, probably higher.
Yeah.
I actually succeeded in maximum science, we would know exactly how much higher. Yeah.
Yeah.
However, I would say, according to another definition, common as in we all have it in common, it's uniform. No, yeah. It is not common.
Dun, dun, dun.
We absolutely do not share a common table prayer.
Hmm.
Of course, if you say it in German, like our friend Elizabeth Allman does, you only get one version of the table prayer, which is very helpful. I've considered teaching my family just enough German to be able to say the common table prayer in German. Because it resolves so many problems.
Mm. Yeah.
But the prayer in German is, Komm Herr Jesu, sei unser Gast und segne, was du uns beschert hast.
Easy enough.
Yeah, easy enough. Simple, easy peasy. You can all do that, right? It's okay. I plugged this text into Google Translate because I wanted to make sure Google agreed with me. And it turns out that, yes, it does line up exactly with the translation that my father, who's fluent in German, gave me when I was a kid. So there isn't a whole lot of, you know, wiggle room in terms of what these words actually mean. It means, come Lord Jesus, be our guest, and bless what you have given us.
Oh.
Yeah. Aaron, you are really gobsmacked by those.
That is not how it goes. You said it lines up exactly. That's wonky.
No. It lines up with the translation my dad gave me. This is not the version we pray.
Oh, okay.
No, it's not.
Fair enough.
No,
okay.
He said, here's the original German and here's what it means. And I remembered what it means.
Okay. Good.
And then I thought, I want to see if there's variety in the way this is translated. So I took the text, plugged it into Google Translate, and word for word, exactly what my dad said.
Okay.
And it doesn't clear up any other confusion. It's clear in itself, but it doesn't point to any particular way that we say it in English.
Right. Exactly. And beyond this, I've always wondered, what is wrong exactly with using an exact translation? Because even though guest and us is kind of a slant rhyme, it's still kind of a rhyme.
It kind of works.
It kind of works.
So let's just throw everybody off and start using this.
It doesn't work. Yeah, exact.
Come Lord Jesus, be our guest and then just go way off into the weeds with this.
And bless what you have given us.
Yes.
It works. Yes. But that's not what we're going to do. And it's not what we did do. In our love of precision, we English speakers early on decided that guest and us was not good enough.
Hmm.
In German, it rhymes Gast und Hast. Perfect.
That's true.
And somebody discovered early on that we can rearrange the words and make a near perfect rhyme out of guest and blessed. Yeah. And so despite all the varieties, they pretty much all include the rhyme guest and blessed.
Mm-hmm.
But once you start messing with things, it opens the floodgates. And so now we have many different versions. So here we come to poll results, part two.
Oh, boy.
Second question I asked. If your family regularly prays the common table prayer, which wording do you use? And I gave a couple different examples to choose from, but I left open that people could add their own.
Okay.
Yeah. I'll ask you guys first. Which versions do you use if you pray, come Lord Jesus?
Thy.
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 Yep.
They're both thy.
Yep.
Okay. Well, you guys are in the minority.
Which is really surprising.
Yeah. Let thy gifts to us be blessed is second at 26%.
That's super surprising.
It is beaten handily by let these gifts to us be blessed.
Huh.
57%. Well
wow.
over half.
That's so interesting.
Yes. We have other versions, let these thy gifts to us be blessed, and let this food to us be blessed. Let's see. May thy gifts to us be blessed, and let your gifts to us be blessed. Let this meal to us be blessed.
Interesting.
We have, and to us these gifts be blessed. And finally, and let these thy gifts. We've already had that one. It showed up in slightly different
probably
format.
A comma or something.
Yeah. Somebody just flat out said, it depends on which family I'm praying with. 1% of the vote was that. And then we had another person just simply say, if I'm a guest, I ask, is this a thee or thy household? Honest question.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like, it's the these and thy, the two, clearly the two forerunners, like the vast majority. And that's easy because then you just barrel straight through and it doesn't really matter which one you pick. You're still right on track with each other where you're supposed to be in the prayer. These, thy, that's going to just throw you off from immediately. Now you cannot finish in sync unless someone stops and pauses. You cannot just press on through that one. Same with the others. It starts getting really awkward if you're trying to just do it the same. But normally, I'm like, well, if they say these, I say thy. It doesn't matter because we're still going to be finishing. You know, we're lined up throughout.
Yeah.
Well, and then there are other people who have extra bits added on at the end.
That's the worst.
There are a few who end the prayer in Jesus' name. And then there are those who add on an extra little couplet. And may there be an ample share on every table everywhere.
Yeah.
Which is a beautiful little sentiment. But you're right, Aaron. If you're praying with people who may not use the same version of the prayer, it can lead to some awkwardness at the end.
Yeah.
It is a total minefield. So you guys both say thy.
Yeah.
Is that an always, like my family, Sarah, when you got married, was there any like conversation or was he a thy family as well? That's so convenient.
It is.
Maybe that should be a question on dating websites. Save yourself the trouble now. How do you say, come Lord Jesus? Because that was not my experience.
Oh, no.
Because I came from a family that was a these gifts family.
Oh.
And my husband was this food. And he also, his family traditionally adds on the in Jesus' name.
Oh, man, that's so confusing.
And so when we got married, this was a thing we had to resolve, especially when we started having children.
Yeah.
Which table prayer are we going to use? So we compromised. We took off the bit at the end.
Okay.
And we went with this food in the middle. So I gave a little and he gave a little.
Okay.
It's still confusing at family reunions, though.
Yeah.
Because we now do something different from either of our family.
Oh, no.
I feel like almost as controversial with it is really, if you're going to be thrown by a these thy option while you're praying, then the question becomes, is it amen or amen? And
we did not do a poll on that. That's going to have to be.
But that is a corollary discussion. So,
yeah.
Yes. Oh, there's so much here. Like, again, we think of these table prayers as just sort of part of the furniture in, you know, the Lutheran church. But no, there's so many little nuances. Like, if you were new to this, I mean, imagine that you had never gone to a Lutheran potluck before, or maybe had never gone to a church potluck before, and everyone does this and you don't know what's going on. And that, and then you go to a different church and turns out they use the same prayer, only slightly different. It would be very confusing for outsiders.
You only learned one.
Like, wars have been fought over less.
Yeah.
Right.
But yes, it is a good prayer. What is it that James Eggert said? It's simple piety, sufficient. I love it. Mm. Simple piety.
Yes.
Yes.
And then, of course, once you've learned the words and you've all agreed on how to say it, have you ever sung Come Lord Jesus? Is the other question.
Not.
I have, of
course you have.
Just for the Capella stuff, though. I don't know that we ever sing it. I don't think they've ever sung it like with a family. I think it was just on choir tours. But it is in our hymnal.
Is it?
Yes. It's number 776 in the LSB. Wow. I've got my hymnal and my hymnal companion out right here.
You came prepared.
There's an explanation of it in the hymnal companion also, which is kind of fun.
Okay. What is the tune they use? That is not the tune that we used.
It's not the tune. I don't know this tune either.
No.
I mean, it's pretty simple, but I don't know.
That's interesting. Because when I was growing up, we used two different tunes to sing Come Lord Jesus.
Oh.
And my husband used a third.
Whoa.
So that was another conversation after we got married. So we picked up one of the tunes when I think I was asking my dad, where did we learn that? And he said, I think we learned it in Papua New Guinea, where we were missionaries for a little while. And it's beautiful. You can, like, the harmonies just write themselves. It's beautiful. Come, Lord Jesus, be our guest, and let this food to us be blessed. Amen. Mm-hmm. That was what we did there. The other tune we sometimes used, and it was kind of ruined for me when somebody told me where it came from. I'll sing it first, and then I'll spoil it for you. Come, Lord Jesus, be our guest. Let this food to us be blessed. Amen. Cute little tune. Great for kids. Mm-hmm. It's a Nestle's commercial. N-E-S-T-L-E-S. Nestle's makes some very
Yes.
But then I got married, and my husband's family had also sung Come, Lord Jesus, and sung it even as a round to this tune. Come, Lord Jesus, come, Lord Jesus, be our guest.
Yep.
So again, we've actually used that one more than the others with our children. I just can't teach them the Nestle's jingle as a table.
No.
So I've got a cute video that I will link to in the show notes. Erin, you said your family sings their Grace to Talis Canon. Mm-hmm. There's a wonderful video of a family singing Come Lord Jesus to Talis Canon, which is really sweet. So if you're looking for ways to sort of up your table prayer game, singing Come Lord Jesus is definitely an option. However, if you are going to sing your table prayer, I would suggest, as much as I love Come Lord Jesus, there is one absolutely perfect option, and that would be the Common Doxology.
Yes.
Which really actually is common because we all sing the same version, although the rhythm might be slightly different. But you can usually work that out as you're going. That is probably many of the most memorable times saying grace with my family or with my church. That is the table prayer that we have used. It's the one that gets pulled out for Thanksgiving and Easter. And it's probably my favorite.
Do you add words? It's too short. How do you make it fit? Like you're missing two lines, aren't you? Trying to sing it to the Common Doxology. Come Lord Jesus.
I'm not talking about singing Come Lord Jesus to Old Hundredths. I'm talking about actually just singing Praise God from the Wall.
You sing it through twice. What's happening here? Okay. No, you're right. That's a fine prayer.
That's my favorite table prayer.
We often finish ours with the doxology included.
I like the doxology to Talus Canon almost better than the other.
Really?
Yeah, I love Talus Canon.
I thought this would be something we could all agree on, but I love
the Common Doxology. Absolutely. I also do love Talus Canon because you can do it in the round.
It's beautiful in the round.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So.
And it's the hymn, All Praise to Thee, My God, This Night, in the hymnal. You can just kind of sing that too. Sorry, I got my hymnal out.
You do. Anyway, that's all I've got. Researching this episode made me realize anew how much depth and richness there is to this little tradition of saying grace before meals, how many varieties there are in the way we do it, and how beautiful those are. And I'm really proud to be part of a community of people who take the time to thank the Lord for the food that goes in our bodies. And even if we will probably never all agree on how to say, Come Lord Jesus, we all agree that it is a good and worthy thing to give thanks to the Lord, for he is good and his mercy endures forever.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. We did all do ah. Oh, man, we got to do another episode on that. Yeah.
This was good. This was
Thanks. I feel like I need to go eat a meal now. We've said all of these prayers and my brain's like, oh, it's time for food. Saying your table prayers.
It's true. I am going to go eat. I've got my food on the stove as we speak.
Well, ladies, a lot of you have answered the polls already, but we want to stir the pot a little bit more. So tell us what you pray, how you pray, if you're these family or these thy family or thy family or something completely other than that. We want to know. You can share your thoughts in the comments on this episode post in our Facebook group, the Lutheran Ladies Lounge, or when we post this on our Instagram page at Lutheran Ladies Lounge. You can comment there on the rest of the posts that will follow up the rest of this week after this podcast drops. You can do all of that. You can also sign up for our e-newsletter, the Lutheran Ladies Lounge e-newsletter, in the show notes for this episode, or sending us an email, lutheranladies@kfuo.org. You can find all of our podcasts at kfuo.org/Lutheran Ladies Lounge or on your favorite podcasting app or on the KFUO radio app. You're listening to the Lutheran Ladies Lounge podcast. I'm Sarah.
I'm Aaron.
And I'm Rachel.
Views and opinions expressed on the Lutheran Ladies Lounge podcast may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO Radio, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. The Lutheran Ladies Lounge is produced by KFUO Radio and available at kfuo.org or wherever you get your podcasts. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button and leave a review for us too. If you love the Lutheran Ladies Lounge podcast, consider financially supporting our producer, KFUO Radio, so we can keep doing what we do. Find out how at kfuo.org/give.